family. So glad you have joined us tonight on this special occasion, Christmas Eve. I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to focus on verse 23, but I want to read the context beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that we can gather on this Christmas Eve to remember what Christmas is all about. Your love for us, that you sent your Son, even in a lowly place where animals were fed and cared for, to be born and to grow up and to die for our sins and to forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life, make us your children that we may adore you forever. Father, I just pray that you'll help us as we contemplate what Emmanuel means. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when a couple is expecting a baby, you come to that time where you have to decide on a name for the baby. And I remember when Cheryl and I were expecting our two boys, it was not very difficult for us to come up with the names that we chose. And for Mary and Joseph, it was really easy because God named the child. The angel announced, you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus in Greek. It means Yahweh, the Lord, saves. And indeed, Jesus came to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. But you know, in biblical times, a name always had a recognized meaning. Now today, we pick names because we're naming them after a family member, or we just like the sound of the name, or the name is popular. That's why we choose the name. Oftentimes, we don't even think about what the name means. But the names given to Jesus, both in prophecy and by the angel, all had significant meanings. And one example is Isaiah 9:6, where the coming Messiah would be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's not that Jesus was ever literally called those, but they would characterize who he would be. In Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy is, you shall call his name Emmanuel. And as we see here, that name means God with us. This evening, I'm going to show you that Jesus truly lived up to his name, that he was truly Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm going to break that down for you tonight. And focus on the fact that Jesus is God and that Jesus came to be with us and that Jesus indeed came to be with us. Even we, Gentiles, He is God with us. So think with me for a few moments this evening, the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't it amazing that the high and holy God, the transcendent God of the universe, would actually come and become among us as God Himself with us? What condensation that He would become incarnate in a human body, somehow enabled to have deity dwelling within that body. Is there good reason to believe that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ? Did God actually become a man, or is this just some fanciful Christmas story like the fanciful stories we have grown up with as children? Is this just Greek mythology of the gods coming and being among us? No, this is the Word of God. This is the truth of the gospel, that God came to be with us. And how do we know that Jesus is God? Well, first of all, we know that He is God because of the manner of His conception. I believe that Luke, perhaps Matthew also interviewed Mary. They got firsthand information from her, and also inspired by the Holy Spirit, they wrote these words. Verse 18 is her testimony that before Mary and Joseph came together in an intimate way, a baby was already growing in her womb, even though she was a virgin. And the actions of Joseph indicate that he knew that it wasn't his child. He knew there was no intimate relations between them. He was even going to divorce her quietly and secretly. It wasn't Joseph's child. Was it the child of some other man? Absolutely not. According to the scripture, according to the testimony that we have here, this child was God with us, the incarnate Son of God. In Luke 1:27, it indicates that Mary was still a virgin when she conceived that child. Some say that's impossible, but it is possible, for with God all things are indeed possible. In verse 20 of Matthew here, we have the real explanation of how the virgin conceived a child. The angel says, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit." And if you look at Luke 1:35, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, because He was conceived by God Himself in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And since God was literally His Father, then Jesus is not just the Son of Mary, but He's also the Son of God. He is God with us. But we know He was God with us also because Jesus Himself claimed to be God. He said in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." He said in John 14:9, "He who has seen Me has seen the Father." He is God in human flesh. You know, I met a person in Dallas, Texas, as we were witnessing on the streets in college, and this guy claimed to be Jesus, the Son of God. I was talking to a guy that claimed to be Jesus, you know. And, you know, it's one thing to claim to be Jesus. It's one thing to claim to be God. It's another thing to prove it. Well, my friend, God in Jesus proved it. Jesus Christ was the one who could calm the storm just by speaking the word. Jesus is the one who could raise the lame. He's the one who could heal the blind. He's the one that could raise the dead. He's the one that not only predicted the manner of his death, but he predicted his resurrection and indeed rose from the dead. Jesus is God with us because he is indeed God according to his own testimony. Furthermore, he is God with us because of the testimony of the apostles. Peter wrote, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." The men who spent 3 years, day in and day out, witnessed thousands and thousands of miracles. Three of them witnessed the transfiguration as His deity radiated through human flesh. These men bore witness that he is none other than the Son of God. John 1:14, John said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of God." The Apostle Paul saw the glory of Jesus Christ on the road of Damascus. And he who blasphemed Jesus worshiped Jesus as the Son of God. And he wrote in Romans 1:14 that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Paul also said in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." Paul said in Colossians 2:9, "For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Remember Thomas? Thomas, who missed seeing Jesus that first resurrection night, said, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, Thomas was with the other apostles and Jesus appeared in a locked room suddenly, and Thomas fell down before him and exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Yes, the apostles testified that he is God with us, Emmanuel. But we know he was God with us also because God incarnate was necessary for our salvation. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We deserve death. And so Jesus Christ was incarnate in human flesh and did not inherit sin. And though he was tempted, yet he lived without sin because he's the Son of God. And so he did not die for his sins. He was able to die for our sins. Oh, what a great Savior we have. Jesus was so great because he was God with us in human flesh. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him." God is able to save. And also 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "In Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them." Let me illustrate why only God in human flesh could have saved us and delivered us from sin and death. You know, I could have brought my checkbook and picked some, anybody. I could write you a $1 million check. Now, what would happen if you go to the bank and try to cash that check? You would not be $1 million richer, you know. I would be $35 poorer for writing a bad check, you know, or worse than that, you know. But if Elon Musk wrote you a $1 million check, you would be $1 million richer. Why? Now, what's the difference? I don't have $1 million, but he does. You know, he has the resources, and God in human flesh is the only one that can save us. A prophet cannot save us. A man cannot save us. An angel cannot save us. Only God, Emmanuel, is able to save us, forgive us, and bestow to us eternal life. But you know, the very fact that God became with us in the person of Jesus Christ demonstrates how much he loves us and cares for us. You know, in olden days, and even perhaps some kingdoms today, if one king wants to establish a relationship with another king, oftentimes he would like give his daughter to his son in marriage, and it would unite the families. Well, when God became Emmanuel, God with us, in Jesus Christ, he united himself with the human race, which is why John 3:17 says he did not come to destroy or judge us, but to save us. Yes, Emmanuel means God is with us. But it also means that God is with us. God is with us. God is not just up in heaven. But when Matthew translates it, he uses the Greek word meta, which means to be present with. Through Jesus Christ, he came to be present with us. Literally, present with us. Like Enoch, now we can walk with God. Like Abraham, we can talk with God as a man talks with his friends. The significance of the fact that Jesus is God with us cannot be overstated. God enters into a personal relationship with us. The transcendent God becomes immanent through Jesus Christ. And what a contrast and emphasis, though, we see here. God is a word of majesty. With shows his mercy. God is a word manifesting his glory. The fact that he's with us manifests his grace. In John 1:14, the Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Yes, he is God with us. And the fact that God became with us in Jesus Christ shows that he will be with us in all the experiences of life. He did not come just for a brief visit. He came from the birth all the way through manhood and death. Have you been an infant? So has Jesus been an infant. Have you been a child under parental authority with the struggles of childhood? Jesus experienced that as well. Have you been a youth? Are you a youth? Well, Jesus Christ experienced the temptations of youth, yet without sin. Have you been an adult struggling to earn a living? Well, Jesus Christ struggled earning a living in a carpenter's shop. Have you ever experienced what it is to be poor, at least for a season? Well, Jesus Christ was himself poor and lived oftentimes as a poor man lives. He came to experience our humanity. And the book of Hebrews says that we have a high priest that can sympathize with us. And he was in all points tempted as we are. Have you experienced rejection? Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men, as the prophet said. Have you experienced slander? Well, Jesus was slandered. Have you experienced betrayal? Well, Jesus Christ experienced betrayal. And so whatever problems you go through in life, always remember that Jesus is God with us. He sympathizes. He cares for you. Lift up your prayers to him. But he is also with us by his Spirit. You know, I find it interesting that the Gospel of Matthew begins pointing to the prophecy that Jesus would be God with us at the beginning of the Gospel. And what do we read at the end of the Gospel? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ promises by his Spirit to be with us. He says, I go away and I'll send the Comforter, one called alongside, who will always be with you. He will be with you to strengthen you. He will be with you to comfort you. He will be with you to guide you. Jesus Christ is God with us. And because of Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that he is always with us. And let me tell you this, he is with us in death and beyond. You know, it's good to know that he's with us in life, but what about in death? You know, when it's your time to die, most all of us, I'm sure, will have family coming around us, saying their goodbyes, knowing that we're about to pass on. And I tell you, during about a year of the pandemic, how tragic it was when people died alone. But even if you die alone from family and friends, you are not alone. Your family and friends cannot walk with you through that door of death, but Jesus Christ will greet you through that door of death and welcome you into the place that he has prepared for you. John 14:3. And we also read in Revelation 21:3, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Have you ever been lonely? Well, my friend, you'll never be lonely in heaven, because you'll be surrounded by the very presence of God and the angels and multitudes of the saints there in heaven. Oh, what a wonderful truth that Emmanuel means that God is with us. And yes, it also means that God is with us. Who's the us there? Well, originally, the prophecy was given to Jews. But was this prophecy intended to give the assurance that God would only be with the Jews? Would he only be the Savior of the Jews? Or would he be the Savior of the world? Well, in Matthew's gospel, what does he do? He translates it into the Greek language, which everybody knew and understood. That the gospel of the assurance of God's saving purpose and his intent to be with us will be known among the nations. Yes, Emmanuel means that God is with us as well. And so, you are invited to come to Christ. If God has come to be with us, He invites us to come to Him. Oh, when He came down on Mount Sinai, the people were forbidden from approaching Him. Only Moses and Aaron could approach God. But now that God has come in the person of Jesus Christ, He invites all to approach Him. When the Son of God was born, lowly shepherds were welcomed to come to Jesus. They didn't have to go to the temple first and receive ritualistic cleansing. They were invited to approach Jesus. And my friend, if any of you have yet to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you can come just as you are. Listen, you come to Jesus and He'll take care of your sins. He'll change you. Come as you are with a repentant heart. Have you come to Jesus in repentance and faith? And I invite you to come now. Come now. You don't need to go to a priest. You can come to Jesus, who is the great priest, the mediator between God and man. Be like the prodigal son and say, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. But I know you sent Jesus to be my Savior. And in Jesus, I see that you came to be with us and to be for us and to save us. I receive you now as my Savior. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He said in John 6:37, he that comes to me, I will not cast out. Oh, what better time to come to Jesus in a saving relationship than on Christmas Eve. And so whether you are in this audience or hearing this message online, I invite you to come to Jesus. How do we come to Jesus? We come in repentance. We come in faith. We come in prayer, calling upon His name. For the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer? As you bow before the Lord, I believe most of us, perhaps even all of us, have already come to Jesus and received the forgiveness of sins. But if not, come to Jesus tonight. Call upon Him in prayer. And I or one of the elders would be more than happy to talk with you further after the service tonight. Christian, whatever you're going through, remember that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Lift up your prayers, your needs, your problems to Him. And now let us continue in a moment of prayer.